Blog Talk Radio.
Was a hard-drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard-drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do we do? How do we do?
I did.
muscle eyes and the fingers play with dynamite. My good eyes witness misery, but I see it all right. Cause the man said, I do it too.
Out there. This is Ryan.
This is Angie.
And this is Jared.
And we all want to wish you a very happy Memorial Day. Although I've heard people talk and I've heard people say that we shouldn't wish people a happy Memorial Day because of what it stands for. But this is a holiday. I know no other way to say it unless I say have a merry Memorial Day. I'm just going to keep saying it because I don't know what else to say.
Yet another thing we're going to have to preface with, don't be offended, but happy
exactly.
Memorial Day.
Yeah. Yeah, people.
Unfortunately, I think no matter how we wish it to anybody, somebody's going to be offended. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the world today. You know, you got to watch what you say pretty much every time you open your mouth, because there's someone or some group of people who will get offended. Anything you say. So, you know, happy Memorial Day, merry Memorial Day, have a great Memorial Day, whatever, you know.
Hope you have a memorable Memorial Day.
Yes. I mean, but, you know, it's we celebrate Memorial Day to remember those who've fallen, who've given their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we are able to enjoy. So we can even do this radio show and talk about the stuff we talk about, you know. And we certainly cannot express in, like, words how much we appreciate the sacrifices that these men and women have gone through. And not just them. Not just the men and women who died, but their families as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just about them. It's about everyone they've touched in their lives. They all suffer. They've all gone. They all deal with the loss of their loved ones, and You know, we really shouldn't just think about them on one day. You know, I'm glad we have this day to remember them, but we really should keep them in our thoughts more than just one day a year.
I agree.
With that being said, how has your Memorial Day weekend been?
Well, mine's been spent trying to get the house ready for our little baby, who should hopefully be coming home very soon. What did you do? I know you did something very special.
Well, let's see. Well, Saturday, a group of us went out to Evergreen Cemetery and placed flags by the graves of the veterans that are buried there. Now, Evergreen is an abandoned African American cemetery outside of Richmond, just outside of Richmond. It has been in neglect for about 30, 40 years. So when I say it's basically a forest, I'm not lying.
He is not lying.
And my friend Dennis Eslock actually introduced me to Evergreen about 2015. It was the first time I went out there. And we decided when, I guess it was Memorial Day of 2015, that we were going to do, we wanted to do something to honor the veterans that were buried there, because there were no flags by their graves. They fought and died just like the white man did. They fought for freedoms. And if nobody else is going to take care of them, we decided that we were going to do it ourselves. So at first it was easy because the cemetery wasn't really, I guess, renovated yet. I guess renovated isn't the right word. I can't think of the word I want to use. But there's still a lot of growth. So a lot of the military graves had not been uncovered yet. So for two people, it wasn't that bad. It took a long time to place all the flags and find the military graves that were uncovered. But it wasn't impossible. Throughout the years, there have been many volunteers come through. And let me tell you something. The people who volunteer and spend hours of their weekends all year round tugging at roots, cleaning up that graveyard, deserve all the credit in the world.
Yeah,
and
they Dennis do.
And I, we go out. It is crazy. I can't wait to take you back out. I can't wait to take Miller out there as well. Mm-hmm. But you would be very impressed with how it looks now. And, you know, Dennis and I, we do our part to honor the veterans that are buried there. And we're very proud to do that. But the men and women who spend their weekends all year round deserve all the credit. And I want to give them a big shout out to John Shuck and Melissa Pocock, who are there every weekend. And we thank you very much for your time and effort in cleaning up Evergreen.
Yeah.
But, you know, as they clean up the graves, clean up the cemetery, we are finding more and more graves. So now we have discovered over 200 military graves. And
wow.
They're not easy to get to, especially for two people. Like last year on Veterans Day, Dennis and I spent most of the afternoon on November 10th finding graves. Now, John Pagano from Henricus came and helped us for a little bit, and without his help, we would have fallen way short, but we had to drive to Radford that night, so we needed to finish before it got dark. So this year, we recruited a bunch of people, and we actually had a Girl Scout troop come and help us and two Boy Scouts were there as well, and they helped us place the flags by the grave. So I think it was a very successful trip. And even though there's been a lot of progress as far as cleaning up the graveyard and whatnot, some of the graves are still hard to find, and you still have got to keep an eye out, because you never know. There could be a grave buried in someone hasn't gotten to yet, that's buried under a mound of brush or a tangle of vines or something. So even though there has been a lot of progress as far as the cleanup is concerned, there's still a lot of work to be done. And with summertime, it's always hard because it just grows too fast. And, you spend a weekend cleaning up, and then you leave it for a week, come back.
It's right back
growing.
Just the same.
Stop. Yeah. It doesn't stop growing, so... It's a progress, and it'll never look pristine ever, but we're getting it back to respectable. They're getting it back to a respectable shape, and I think I always enjoy going out there on Veterans Day and Memorial Day, because it's not work. It's not a chore. It is something that's fun and I enjoy doing, and I think it's something that everyone should experience.
I agree. I know last year when I got to go, I felt very proud to be out there.
Well, don't worry. We'll be taking you next November.
Along with Miller.
Yay!
You both will be coming with, and I personally prefer the Veterans Day.
A lot cooler.
It is cooler. And that's the main reason. And plus, I just like it better. I mean, I like going out there on Veterans Day. I don't like the holiday any better than Memorial Day. But it's an honor to be there on both days. So how about you, Miller? What have you done this weekend?
It's been a very eventful weekend for me. Very eventful.
Yay. In a good way?
In a good way, yes.
Yay.
Spent
good.
A lot of time with family. We actually re-sighting to my grandparents' house this weekend. So we done that and filmed a movie yesterday on Sunday.
Nice.
In Blu-ray.
Nice.
Got kind of getting over this stomach bug that I had.
Oh, man.
Well,
I'm glad you're finally getting over it.
I know. It's been a week. So, but it's been a very good, eventful, fun, relaxing weekend away from work, which is what I needed.
Yeah. Everybody needs to get away sometimes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Weekend.
I can't wait.
Go ahead, Angie.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say I can't wait until tomorrow night.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully. We don't want to count
our
chickens, though. Well, I don't want to jinx it by talking about it on a national radio broadcast that everyone was listening to, because we are world famous paranormal talk show hosts.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to be the one. All right, Jared. All right, Miller. You guess, and we'll tell you if you're right. That way,
okay.
You're not doing it.
That way, technically, you aren't jinxing yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, if I had to guess, I would say baby RJ is going to make an appearance at the Parker household.
Close. Very close.
Close?
But close, it's close enough. If RJ does his feedings, if RJ does his feedings all the way through, then we may be able to take him home on Wednesday, which means Angie and I will be spending the night at the hospital tomorrow night getting used to RJ, which, of course, we're already parents. So I don't know what the hell we're going to do that for. But if RJ does his feedings right, then we may be able to take him home on Wednesday, which is very exciting. We were talking today on the phone, and we were commenting on how it just feels like he's not ours yet, because we visit him, but then we have to leave him at the hospital, and we don't have that bond yet. You know, it feels like he belongs to the hospital, and they're just letting us visit him. So it'll be great to have him home, and so he'll actually feel like, you know, our child, which I know probably sounds terrible, but, you know, it's not what you think.
Well, I am so excited for you all. Congratulations.
Well, like I said, I don't want to counter check.
Well,
thank you, Jared.
I can't wait to hold little man.
I know. I can't wait for you to hold him either. Because you have only seen pictures, and that's not fair.
That's not fair.
He was just with them. He just came to see him last week. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
I didn't
go with you.
Yeah, we went to the hospital last week.
After last week's show.
Tell you what, though, you're going to have to stand in line because there are a lot of people who want to hold him. Hell, his sister Rihanna hasn't even held him yet.
Well,
I know.
Yeah, I'll jump in line.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'm just glad that there's going to be a feasible line. There's a timeline now.
I know. I like just having like a tangible date or a tangible like us and in sight for, because all last week is like, I don't know, he's the boss, we got to do what he says, you know, or when he was born even, you know, well, we don't know how long he's going to be here. Could be a week, could be a month. We don't know. And I realized that he had gone through a lot, and he was going through, he, you know, it was very serious what he was going through. You know, it was very serious, and I guess as a parent, you want to know everything right now, you know.
And you want to fix it.
Exactly, and you can't. You realize that, but it's still frustrating at the same time.
Super frustrating.
And I realize that this is called a freaking awesome paranormal show, and we're not talking about anything paranormal right now. So I'm going to say the word ghosts and move on. All right. But
where are we moving to?
I've got a month or maybe less. I'll be moving into your house, so there's that.
Yay!
Well, that's also exciting news.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I've got to let Rihanna finish out the school year, and because she'll, and plus we need to get a bed for her too. So, yeah.
Now accepting donations.
Exactly.
Did you get any articles for tonight?
Let's see here. I think I do have some leftover articles.
Ooh. Ah.
Because I always try and get some extra ones just in case. Here's one. I'm not sure if I read this one or not. This is from the Huffington Post. Pentagon's former UFO hunter, we may not be alone. Well, if he's a UFO hunter, you would think that he would be pretty damn sure we aren't alone, because what is he hunting then? You know? And Bigfoot hunters, if you're a Bigfoot hunter, you pretty much assume Bigfoot exists. Otherwise, you'd think it was a waste of time. I'm thinking. I mean, I'm a ghost hunter. I'm pretty sure ghosts exist. I know ghosts exist. This is by Rebecca Shapiro. Yeah. Thank you. Days after the New York Times published an investigative report detailing the Pentagon's secret and supposedly defunct UFO research program, the military intelligence official who led the initiative is speaking out on one of the universe's greatest mysteries. My personal belief is that there is very compelling evidence that we may not be alone, Luis Elizondo told Aaron Burnett on Monday night. Elizondo, who won the Advanced Aeros Identification Program during its tenure from 2007 to 2012, said no longer works for the U.S. government. The Department of Defense says it shut down the initiative in 2012, but the Times reported that some backers say the program is still operating. I tell you unequivocally that through the observations, scientific methodologies, they're applied to look at this phenomenon, that these aircrafts are displaying characteristics that are not currently within the U.S. inventory, nor in any foreign inventories that we're aware of, he added. And Elizondo told the U.S. Times, that he resigned from his role leading the program in October and that a new successor was named. So, yeah, I think I've read that one already. But just in case you forgot, there it is again for you. So, what are your thoughts on UFOs? Do they exist or not?
Jared, do you want to go first on that one?
Yeah, I'll go first. To be honest, I would like to think they do. I've never witnessed anything as far as, like, that I would consider a UFO. I've seen, like, shooting stars and stuff, but I personally would like to think that they do exist.
How about you, Angie?
I mean, yes, I do think that they exist. Simply because of the name, unidentified flying object. If you see it and you don't know what it is, and people have definitely seen unidentifiable flying things before, do I believe that there is life on other planets? I think there has to be. I think that we would be completely naive to think that we are the only living beings anywhere out there, you know? Had they figured out how to get here before we've figured out how to find them, maybe? What's inside those UFOs? I have no idea. But, I mean, I definitely think that there are unidentifiable things out there.
I was thinking the same thing when you said UFOs. I mean, if I see something in the sky, I don't know what it is. It's a UFO. I mean, that doesn't necessarily have to mean it's alien. But it could have been a new aircraft I'm not aware of. There's an online magazine I write for called Living Paranormal Magazine. Started with Alex and Helena King.
Great people.
In Great Britain. Yeah. And one of the, I guess, the themes of this next magazine coming out in June is urban legends. And I told them I'd write an article about urban legends from Virginia, and I found an article pertaining to that subject. so I'm going to read some urban legends that are from our very own home state here in Virginia.
Whoa.
The Beale Treasure. I know. So I'll read it and we'll discuss it, each one, okay?
Okay.
The first one
okay.
is the Beale Treasure. Sometime around the 1820s, a man by the name of Thomas Jefferson Beale uncovered the mother lode while mining for gold in Colorado. This bounty of gold and silver was said to be worth several millions. Beale, with treasure in tow, made the harrowing journey back east to cash in. On his way, he stopped in Bedford, Virginia, where he believed that he may be in danger from some unsavory characters who he said were following him. Lost my place there. Beale buried the treasure, then created a series of ciphers as a way of being able to recover his treasure once he felt the danger had passed. Beale locked the ciphers in a lockbox and left them with a friend. However, he never returned to retrieve those ciphers. It is believed that his treasure is still buried somewhere in Bedford County. Believe it or not.
I don't know if I believe it, but let's go find it.
That's right.
I need some treasure.
You and me both.
Apparently. Apparently these ciphers are, I think there was a mention of it on National Mysteries at the Museum or something. And there was I think Edgar Allan Poe had a part in it or something. We watched it together. I forgot.
I remember that.
What the solution was, but I think it was a hoax. Here's one
that's funny.
Hits close.
I was going to say, remember where we were when we saw that Mysteries at the Museum?
At the hospital, probably?
We were at Radford.
That's right.
Yep, the St. Albans event.
And we're right down the street from Bedford County. That's where the Avenel House is in Bedford County. I'm going to give
her
a shout-out.
I'm sorry.
Avenel.
What?
Yeah. We were supposed to go to an event out of Avenel House, but we didn't make it last year, so.
Yeah, that was a bad weekend.
Yeah. Well, you were pregnant, and we were going to be in Radford the next weekend, so.
Yeah.
But.
Every weekend I was pregnant was a bad weekend.
Yeah,
I really would like to get out there sometime.
We do. Hopefully, we will be welcomed when we come out there. But just in case we're not welcome, we'll go to Hollywood Cemetery and we'll visit the Vampire of Hollywood Cemetery.
Ooh.
Hollywood Cemetery.
Ah.
Atop a large hill overlooking the Virginia capital of Richmond. Although there are a lot of stories surrounding the cemetery, one of the oldest cemeteries in the country, this legend is the most famous. Around 1925, workers were tunneling under Church Hill near the cemetery when the entire tunnel collapsed. Several of their workers were buried alive in the collapse. It is believed that the collapse awoke an evil presence that had been living under Church Hill for centuries. As rescuers dug their way in to try to rescue the trapped workers, they encountered a man dressed in older clothing, crouched over one of the bodies, eating it. The rescuers chased the man into the cemetery. Once in the cemetery, the man fled into a mausoleum bearing the name W.W. Poole. But when the rescuers entered the mausoleum, they discovered that it was empty. From that day forward, locals have told the story of a man who on occasion emerges from the Poole mausoleum and haunts unsuspecting patrons who happen to be walking in the cemetery grounds alone at night.
Ooh, let's go to
Hollywood. Scary.
The Richmond Vampire. That's the story that's been around for a while, and a lot of people go to the cemetery looking for W.W. Poole's grave and take pictures by it.
So do you have pictures by it?
I've taken pictures on it, but I haven't taken pictures by it. No, I did go find it. I did try to find it, though.
I have not.
It's pretty close to the entrance of the cemetery. And the thing is, the Churchill Tunnel had been out of use for a while because there was a viaduct that had been opened. The tunnel itself was opened in the 1870s. In 1901, a river viaduct had been opened. So they had been using the tunnel for a long time. But in the 1920s, they decided to reopen it. And while they were refurbishing it, that's when it collapsed. And I think there's still a train stuck in the tunnel. Yeah.
Have to check that out.
I have Steve Dills listening to the show, and he has informed me. Let's see. I lost my place here. Okay.
Really?
Well, I saw it. It went all the way up to the beginning of the conversation. I'm like, that's not right. They were digging. He says they were digging out the tunnel to try to rescue victims. One victim was completely burned, and his skin was pretty much melted off. He bust out of the rubble and from pure adrenaline ran from the Churchill Tunnel to Hollywood Cemetery. He did enter WW Pool's mausoleum, but was rescued and taken to a hospital, is now a BC dormitory. The tunnel's still there, but the accident was from when they were digging the tunnel out. So you hear these stories like what I read to you earlier, how they found the guy and he was basically eating one of the victims and whatever. That's how they get started. Oh, I found this guy and hanging off him, he's eating one of the victims. You know, he looks inhuman. Yeah. He may have been trying to help one of the victims. But back then, word gets around, and before you know it, he's a vampire. And the story spreads, and now.
And so it goes, and so it goes.
Yeah. Well, to bring the point back to something a little more personal, when we had one of Melissa Elliott's classmates come to the cabin to talk to us about what had happened, or I guess to talk about Melissa. For those of you who don't know, we're in a paranormal location here, which has been called the Cabin on 360, and there's a house next door to it. It's on the same property where a young lady was raped and killed by her 17-year-old half-brother. The story goes from a true story is that she was killed by her brother, dropped in a refrigerator box, and taken about 75 to 100 yards behind the house. And she was discovered the same morning by two of my grandfather's workers, and they found the box. And when they found her body, they called the office, hoping to talk to my grandfather, but he wasn't there. So my dad answered the phone, and he drove out to the cat, which gets to the brick house, and helped the police officer who was in charge move the body of 13-year-old Melissa into the body bag. That story I got from him. Well, the story that the people in the community had heard was that the body was found in a shed behind the house under some floorboards, and Randy had moved a refrigerator on top of the floorboard so nobody would find the body. So it's funny how the word refrigerator was there in the story, but it's a completely different story. So again, the tunnel collapses. It's one of those wood, those old trains that run off steam, you know, a steam locomotive. The boiler explodes. The guy, the fireman who feeds the coal into the train and make it go, is burned, terribly burned. He's rescued. He's going crazy. He busts out of the rubble. I mean, he's obviously in a lot of pain, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He runs to the pool mausoleum. He's probably not thinking. He's beyond help at this point. And people just turn this simple story into a vampire tale. And
it's a horrible story, regardless.
Yeah, it is terrible. There's also a story of a circus train that derailed in 1952 outside of Lynchburg, and of the 52 gorillas that were on the train. I don't know why the train would have 52 gorillas.
What kind of circus is that?
Is it just the
gorilla circus?
I mean, it's a part of the ringling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got gorilla clowns.
It has more than just gorillas. I mean, wow. So, of the 52 gorillas that were on the train, 35 escaped and are supposedly swinging around Lynchburg.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Not at all.
Apparently, you can visit Churchill Tunnel. Of course, it's closed off or whatever, but there is one of the Churchill Tunnel is part of an apartment complex, and it's pool in front of it. And, you know, I wouldn't mind trying to access that part of the tunnel in the pool, because that sounds like fun.
Right.
Especially on this hot summer days. The other is in the woods and is accessible if you want to brave the nest. Yeah, I've been to that part. There's a lot of brush in the way to get to that end of the tunnel. You can actually enter the tunnel. You can actually enter this part. It was actually flooded, generally flooded, and as of all the rainwater from Churchill drains into it. Well, I know it's going to be flooded now because of all the rain we've had. We need to pick a weekend where it's been super dry. And we really need to go in the winter, honestly, if we're going to do it, because summertime is just too much vines and shit trying to get down into it. So it'll be cold.
It's summer. It's too much to do anything.
I'll agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
I'm all about winter exploring.
Yeah, I mean, it's cold, but it's still easier to get to places. This next urban legend is called the Beast of Gum Hill. Every state needs a Sasquatch, and the Beast of Gum Hill, a relatively new legend, is Virginia's. Around the mid-1960s, a Bristol man was out hunting when he came across some rather large tracks in the mud. Curious, the man... Mysteriously, man followed the tracks to a clearing where they mysteriously vanished. Then the man felt something strange. Yeah. He felt something strange in his neighborhood, as if he was spotted. As if he was being watched, sorry. He looked around the clearing and spotted something moving into thick growth. Through the green undergrowth, he spotted two red eyes looking at him. The eyes hovered 7 feet in the air. Through the leaves, he could see the faint outline of the beast, a huge, hairy, muscular animal standing upright and staring at him. The beast grunted angrily as though ready to charge. The hunter raised his rifle and fired. The shot missed. The now frightened creature ran in fear. The man returned several days later but could not find the animal or its tracks. Over the next several decades, others have reported strange tracks and encounters with the beast, but so far no definitive proof has arisen. That's, I don't know, that seems kind of flimsy to me.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Although I do believe there could be Bigfoots out there and big, you know.
Big people.
Big things like that, but. Meh. And they all have glowing red eyes.
Why is that?
Are they all albino?
Exactly. Like, why do they have red glowing eyes?
That's a good question, Timmy. Why do they have red glowing eyes? I don't know.
Maybe once we find one, we can ask them.
What if they don't speak? What if they don't speak English? Or if they just grunt? What if they speak Wookiee?
Wookiee? Well, that's.
I mean, we could be hunting Chewbacca's.
We could learn. Probably we should speak to them if we ever see one.
We could at least try. Ask them to be on the show.
Yeah.
I'd welcome Chewbacca on the show.
Yeah. I'd welcome a Chewbacca impersonator on the show. Just so he can teach me how to speak it.
We can have a Wookiee teaching, a Wookiee class on the Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show. How to speak Wookiee.
That would be awesome.
This is completely off the subject here, but Angie and I went and saw Han Solo. I guess it's called Solo. It's not called Han Solo, is it?
It's called
Solo.
And it's just Solo.
And it's actually the story of Solo cups and how and why they are all red. It's very interesting.
And how they hurt the atmosphere.
And how the song Red Solo Cup came to be. No, we saw
the
movie Solo last night.
I loved
it. The drive-in theater in Goochland. And I have to say, I did like the movie, but the first, 20 minutes of it, I barely had any idea what was going on. Because it was dark, and I don't mean dark outside. It was a dark, very dark movie, dark, actually physically dark. You can barely see the characters and what they were doing.
Yeah, the drive-in was a bad place to see it. That would have been awesome in the theater.
It would have been better in the theater because of the lighting. But it gets dark in that. In the drive-through, I remember trying to...
The drive-through.
Yeah, I keep saying... Did I say drive-through? Yeah.
Yeah.
Drive-in. Every time, I keep saying drive-through. But it's definitely a good movie. I want to say good movie, but it was decent. I liked it.
I would say good. I enjoyed it. Jared, are you planning on going to see it, or have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet. I'm not really a big Star Wars fan. I've only seen Rogue One, so I probably won't go see this one.
He's still my heart.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to all the listeners. That's a huge disappointment.
Hey, I'm
going to
be a Star Wars fan. I think it's overrated, honestly, if I'm going to be honest. I think Star Wars, the whole the whole thing is overrated, but I mean, I liked Han Solo, so I'd go see him. I haven't seen the other one yet, the other Star Wars that came out last year. Neither has Angie.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I'm more of a Trekkie myself.
So you're more Star Trek than Star Wars?
Yeah.
I'm definitely more Star Wars.
And there's
Ryan
nothing wrong
like either one.
Yeah,
I thought
they
Rogue
land.
One was or really
Earth.
Good.
I did
I'm
like
sorry,
Doctor
Ryan,
Who. found that on Netflix. And I like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes,
I mean,
I think we can all agree on Guardians.
Yeah. How could yeah. If you don't like that, there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
It's just
definitely
hard for me to like, you see, you have Star Wars that was made in the 1970s. And you can tell it's made in the 1970s, right? And you have Han Solo, who was made in 2018. And you could tell that it's so much more advanced from 2018 to 1977. You know, and but it takes place before Star Wars does. I mean,
that was the very first movie I ever saw in the theater, was the first Star Wars.
I think the first movie I saw in the theater was maybe Return of the Jedi. I thought it was Empire Strikes Back, and I know I say that in a theater, but, man, I must have been like 4 years old when that came out.
I wouldn't even begin to guess what my first movie in the theater was.
I remember watching Never Ending Story in the theater.
Oh, I bet that was a good movie to see in the theater.
I always cried when that stupid horse died in the swamp. Storm Chase or whatever his name was. Very sad.
This train has gone way off the tracks.
It has. Well, I kind of knew that would be that way tonight. It's kind of a lazy show. It was a holiday weekend, and it was the last Monday, so it knew it was going to be us just talking. We are very excited to be doing our first live show from a location that I hold near and dear to my heart. I've done several paranormal investigations at this location, and one of my good friends works there, and he invited us to come and do a show with him. And
I'm so excited.
The man who runs the foundation, David Deal, my friend Steve Dills, is going to be on the show with us, and he's going to talk about Hanover Tavern next week. We will be live from there, and it'll be a lot of fun. It is a very, very haunted location. I've had several paranormal encounters out there, and this group Transcend Paranormal. They run the investigations out there, and they do a great job, and I'm very happy to be associated with them, and very excited to call them my friends, and I'm glad to be going out there next week and help promote Hanover Tavern. We've got Celestial coming on for the last...
What's up?
Hey, you know, I kept looking at the queue, or this is called the queue, and you weren't on there. Of course, when I stop looking at it, that's when you decide to come on.
I'm a ninja, that's what I tell you. You gotta believe me.
Well, you did say 10:15, just saying. And it's 10:25.
I did. I'm sorry.
What?
Sorry, things happen. Had to pack food for work.
Well, how was your holiday weekend?
Oh, what did I do this weekend? I worked, I slept, worked a little more, and I slept a little more. It was pretty nice. Made overtime this weekend because of the holiday, so I ain't complaining.
Hell no. I wouldn't be either.
Yeah. Wasn't bad. I work weekends, so everyone's like, oh, how was your weekend? And I'm like, I work. But my job's awesome.
Yeah, weekend's like Tuesday and Wednesday, isn't it, or something like weird?
No, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And Tuesday is only until they hire a new employee, so then I don't have to work overtime. I'm not complaining
about
the overtime.
Yeah, but what days do you have off?
Wednesday, Thursday, and then during the day, Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday. You need to put your window up when you call in.
What?
During traffic and shit. You got need to put your window up when you call it. We're hearing traffic and stuff going by.
No. Do you know what that is? That was a guy on a crotch rocket revving his engine next to me because he thought he was cool.
But
my window is up. That's the problem. What?
But he's not cool. You're cool because you are a world-famous paranormal talk show host and you're trying to do your show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my window is completely up. That guy's a douche.
Well, that guy's a dickhead.
Yeah. So what did you guys do this weekend? Other than put out the flags, because you guys did that, I saw that.
Well, we did a lot.
We
did a lot, and rather than talk about what we talked about at the beginning of the show, we'll just say we did a hell of a lot, and it was a good week. Plus, we only have 90 seconds left, so we can't really get into that.
Andrew, you enjoying not being in the hospital locked in a room?
I am, but it's definitely bittersweet. Definitely.
And
every time we go up there to see him, it's harder and harder to leave him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hopefully
you guys said he should be coming home
tomorrow.
Wednesday, right?
Yeah, we're hoping. I just got word that his 8 o'clock feeding, he did really well, so.
Nice.
We're hoping.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, guys,
That's
we're
awesome.
Almost done. We have less than a minute left. Thank everyone for tuning in. Hope everyone had a good Memorial Day, since Happy Memorial Day is the wrong thing to say, apparently. Don't forget to tune in next week, where we will be live from Hanover Tavern. Thanks, Celeste, Angie, and Miller for calling in. And that's about it. Anything else you guys want to say?
Nope. Just have a great Memorial evening.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Have a good one.
And thank you for everyone who served in our Army, past and present.
Right?
Yes.
Military in general, not just the Army. You guys get it.
Yeah, I understand. All right, have a good night, guys.
You too.
Good
night.
Bye.
See you all.